the attack of the kids. They get very energetic this time of year. Notice that? Teens are next door with Kelly. Next week they're going to be decorating next door for Christmas. So encourage your teens to come and be a part of that. Today we're going to continue our little mini-series here. And it's called What Child Is This? And it's from the people called the Skit Guys. And why don't you just watch the video and we'll pick it up from there.
What child is this? Yes, yes, that is the question. That has always been the question. What child is this? That single question was the driving force behind our lengthy journey. We had to figure out what child this is. And I know. My friends, we have been called wise by many of the people we encountered along our journey, if even for a brief moment. I hesitate to give much credence to their judgment. But it is known, or it should be known, that knowledge is acquired by keeping one's eyes open and mouth shut. So, may I suggest that you keep your mouths closed and your ears open, and I will, to the best of my ability, answer your question as clear as I can. One, we did not stumble upon this child. No, we found a needle in a haystack. And how did we find this needle? We followed the star. I know. To many, that would be considered a fool's errand, but we are no fools. No, that star was moved by some unseen force. And who moves stars but God? Two, we encountered that corrupt king. That king wanted us to find the child so that he could worship the child. My friends, do kings worship babies? No. Kings defend their thrones. And that king, that Herod, is a ruthless and cruel despot. It does not take a wise man to discern that. And that king felt that this child was a threat. And mark my words, that child is a threat to all who are cruel and ruthless. And three, I don't have words for three. My entire life I have searched, and yet it was always just beyond the horizon of my knowing. Until, in an instant, I crossed a threshold, and there it was. That father, that mother, that star, the child. It was all there. All my searching, all my studying. It was all right there. All in that child. How could I not worship him? I need search no more.
The famous poem by the Englishman named William Chatterton Dix posed a question that we'll try to answer in this series. And the question is, what child is this? And although the wise men were never mentioned in the song that we sang today, the words of the third verse tell of the gifts that they brought: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men make their appearance in our Bibles in Matthew's Gospel in the second chapter. And in this gospel message, we learn some things about these wise men, about their orientation, where they came from, their intentions. So we're going to look at the lives of the wise men a little bit as a reflection also on Jesus' life and the attributes of his life. And we pretty much read the text before we sang the song, but I'll read it again, as long as my voice holds out. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said. "For this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, Bethlehem in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" And then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. And then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. And it went ahead of them, and it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy and entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Lord, we pray your blessing on the reading and the preaching of your word. We ask, Lord, now that you'd open our hearts and minds and spiritual eyes, that we might see what you have to say to us today through this story that's so familiar during this time of year. So bless our time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's pick it apart a little bit. The first two verses in Matthew 2 says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we've come to worship him." The term King of the Jews was a very powerful thing to say, especially with King Herod, who was the appointed King of the Jews. So we can see how this newborn King of the Jews would be a threat, as we saw in the video, to his kingdom, to his rule, to his throne, which caused him to do whatever he could to stop it from happening. According to the text, these wise men came from the east or eastern lands and would most likely point to Arabia. They were Gentiles from Arabia who came to worship Jesus. Now, to the Jews, anything east, eastern lands, would be anything on the eastern side or the other side of the Jordan River from where they were. And so the Arabian deserts and the Arabian Peninsula include some of our modern-day countries like Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Oman, Qatar, Bahrain, Kuwait, Iran, Jordan. You get the picture of this Middle Eastern area that these men came from. And the gifts that they brought also lend insight into where they came from as well. In Matthew 2:11, it says, they entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These men probably carried the gold from where it was mined in their native land, which would have been in the southern portion of Arabia. The gifts of frankincense and myrrh would also be from this area. That's where the trees were that grew these fragrant spices that they brought as gifts, and they were very valuable because they were rare and only came from this area of the world. And so it tells us even more acutely that they were from Arabia. There was also a prophetic future glory of Israel that gets fulfilled in the person of Jesus. We sang it at the end of our worship sequence. It's from Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 6. And Isaiah writes this: "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come and see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands, and your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine, your heart will thrill with joy, for merchants from around the world will come to you, and they will bring you wealth from many lands. Vast caravans of camels will converge on you, the camels of Midian and Ephah. The people of Sheba, which is in southern Arabia, will bring gold and frankincense and will come worshiping the Lord." Some 700 years before it happened, sounds pretty accurate, you know. And the people of Israel didn't really get it at the time. They were waiting and waiting, but that didn't really click. But when all of these little pieces fall in place, it should have been quite obvious, don't you think? How did they miss it? The gifts mentioned in Isaiah are consistent with the gifts that the wise men brought to bring to Jesus, as it was mentioned in the gospel. And they were gifts that were carried from their original land of Arabia. And then there were also other credible writers of the first and second century who not only mentioned these specific gifts that would be brought, but actually said from Arabia in black and white instead of guessing where it was from. So why is the origin of the wise men significant in our story, or even to answer the question, what child is this? So both the wise men and Jesus came a long distance to get to Bethlehem at that time. The wise men traveled from their home in Arabia, which obviously took them quite some time. We'll talk about that in a minute. And Jesus, consider where he had to come from to get to Bethlehem that night, from his home in heaven. And none of this was by accident. The child in the manger is the one who, like the wise men, made an arrival in Bethlehem from quite some distance away. And John opens his gospel story by telling us about this distance that Jesus came to be with us. In John's gospel, chapter 1, he says this: "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created." That's amazing to me anyway. I love that verse. "He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." I want to read a quote from these skit guys that they had in some of their paperwork. They say this: "When considering the Christmas story, it's important that Jesus came not only to seek and save Jewish working class shepherds who did not always have much money, but also came for the Gentile Arabs who were wealthy and came bearing gifts to the Messiah. This mention of wealth and gifts brings us to the second comparison between the wise men and Jesus. Jesus, as it is inferred that the wise men were from a position of wealth. Likewise, Jesus came from a place of means. He is the God who stepped out of the riches of heaven and into the poverty of a lowly manger in a Bethlehem stable. We have to get our brain around this. We hear the story every year, and it's like so second nature that we don't really think about it in much detail. But as we read in especially the book of Revelation, we can see that Jesus came from a place of wealth. Think about it. Listen to some of the psalmist's words. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell therein. Psalm 24. Psalm 50 says, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. And as we sang, Jesus came to the earth that he created out of this high place in heaven with all the glories and riches of the world at his disposal. And he came to us in this lowly esteem to save us from our sin, rescue us from the condition that the human race was in and is in. And he's the one who created and owns everything. The child and the wise men came from a place of means and had access to great wealth. So we start to see a glimpse of who this child really is. He's full of generosity and a giver of gifts. So what child is this? He's the one who would give the ultimate gift. He was born to give his life as a ransom for many. And while the wise men were generous and givers of good gifts, they're only a sample of the return gift that Jesus gave to the whole world, the human race. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that talk about gifts that Jesus came to give us. In Galatians it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In John's first epistle, it says, we know that what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. And so we ought also to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. In John's gospel, he says, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. What a gift. In Philippians, it says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Great promises, all available to us because of Jesus. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, says in Luke's gospel. I'm sorry, Mark. Mark 10:45. The list of gifts that Jesus gave is quite long, but it follows after the Father's heart of giving, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So what child is this? He's the one who gives and is generous in ways that we see the wise men also giving and being generous. And then they found him by the guidance of a star. Kind of amazing, isn't it? See, these wise men, they were trained. They were educated. They studied languages. They studied cultures. They studied the people of the lands around them. They studied their customs. They studied their prophecies. And they were aware of what the Jews were expecting. They were aware of the teachings of the prophets of a Messiah that was supposed to come to Israel. So it wasn't a surprise to them. They didn't get this instant revelation when they saw the star. When they saw the star, it took everything that they had learned in their education process and brought it to fresh mind. And they knew they had to follow this thing. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright says, when something important was happening on earth, you could expect to see it reflected in the heavens. And the reverse is also true. So when these wise men from the east saw the star rising in the sky, they took it as a sign that something amazing was going to happen or is happening on earth. They knew the stories of the coming Messiah from the Jews who were exiled in their area years before. And when the exile was over, many of those Jews didn't go and return to Israel. They had married and they had families that they had to care for. And they weren't about to uproot everything and go back home just because the situation changed and was remedied. And so they stayed in the lands. And these wise men learned from them the customs, the prophecies, the things of their culture, and had them fresh in their mind. They simply followed the teachings that they had learned, something the Jews had, well, should have done a little bit more of themselves. It's amazing how Gentile guys could follow the teachings of the Jewish law and customs better than the Jews did and actually find the Messiah. So now they sought out the one who was to be king, king of the Jews, and they were led by the star to Bethlehem of Judah. The wise men came to seek something, just as Jesus came to earth seeking something. Luke's gospel tells us, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save you, me, everyone who is lost." What child is this? He's the one who, like the wise men, came to seek something. Us, humanity. The wise men found who they were seeking, and they were overwhelmed in his presence. This was God. God with us. Emmanuel, the Messiah, Savior of the world. And the emotions of the wise men were running high, as we see in Matthew's gospel in verses 9 through 11 of our text. It says, "Behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Now some time, I started to say before, had transpired for them to get from where they came from in Arabia to finally get to Bethlehem, led by a star or not. It was a long distance to travel that took them what seems like, from our text, possibly years. The verse mentions that they entered the house and found the child. Jesus wasn't that infant in a manger in a shack in Bethlehem any longer. They were in their home. He was there with his mother, and he was a child, maybe 2 or 3 years old. And by the time they arrived there, a long time had passed. But regardless, they saw him, and they fell on their faces, with their faces to the ground, and worshiped this child who they knew by their studies and by this miraculous event in the heavens had to be God, the King of the Jews, Messiah. And they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These Gentile wise men recognized who Jesus really was and is, King of Kings, who came as the promised Messiah, Savior, God in the flesh. And he came for both Jews and Gentiles alike. He came to save the entire world, not just one people, one culture. Simeon said it in Luke 2, said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel." Simeon said it, actually prophesied it at this point. The child who is the king, who's worthy for worship, by Jews and Gentiles alike. And he was the one who offered salvation to all, not selective, all peoples, all nations. And he would tell his disciples and believers after he was raised from the dead, this from Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. These Gentile wise men were the first Gentiles to worship Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Way before it became popular in our New Testament times. It was what Simeon said. It's what the wise men experienced. What child is this? He's the one who's worthy of worship by all people. He's the one true Savior of the entire world that is worthy to seek and to worship. He's the one not impeded by distance to be born as the one who would give his life to as many as who would receive him. And they would get from him, and we get from him, forgiveness of sin and the gift of everlasting life. May we do as the wise men did. May we seek him, bow before him, worship him, give him the glory, and give him the gift of our very lives, because that's what he wants from us. What a Christmas gift to give yourself to God. And then tell others about him. So we have this popular story of these three kings that we sang about, read about, three wise men, the gifts that they brought, because there was three gifts. But there's a fourth wise man. Take a look.
You said we lost him.
I found you all! Thank goodness for that star. If it weren't for that star, I wouldn't have found you guys.
Pretty convenient that now you can read the stars.
Oh no, just that big super bright one. I mean, it's like, blam! But I'm still gonna need directions home. Can someone write that down for me?
We don't have time for this. We're going to see the Messiah.
Look at us, the four wise men. We're inseparable.
More like insufferable.
Speaking of suffering, my feet can't take much more walking. It's been 3 years. We should have been home by now.
You guys can blame me all day for losing those camels, but you all knew going into this that my double hitch knot needed a little work.
Why don't we proceed in silence, reverent silence, in honor of the Messiah.
Totally cool with that.
Good.
So, I was thinking about my gift. I mean, what baby needs white jade anyway, right?
We've been over this 1,000 times. White jade represents his purity and goodness. The gold represents his royalty. The burning of frankincense reminds us that the aura of God is around us at all times, and the myrrh is to anoint him as King of Kings.
Right. Just listen. I think I found a better gift. A gift that'll make everyone forget that I lost the white jade.
You what?
I mean, I think a gift that makes the white jade just look like nothing. A gift that's better than the white jade that I replaced.
You replaced with what?
The greatest gift of all. Oh yeah. Wait for it. Ba-blam! Hummus!
You must be kidding.
Do you mean, I must be kidding? Because I'm not kidding at all. Hummus is delicious, okay? And it's very symbolic. People unite together when they see hummus. Much like a savior. Okay, okay. This is my bad. This is on me. You guys go see the Messiah. I'll just stay here.
I think that would be best. But at least you have a snack.
Yeah. I just thought, it just doesn't matter what we bring this little king. He doesn't need any of our gifts. I mean, you know, he's a savior. I mean, he's a gift to us. Maybe I was hoping he's bigger than all my mistakes. Yeah, I guess that's what I was hoping. All right, I'll see you guys later. Why are you doing that?
Because I hope he's that kind of a savior, too.
Let's go. I wish someone had some pita bread. Ba-blam!
All right, so I couldn't resist ending a serious message with a little levity. Forgive me. And enjoy. Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for the message you have to teach us and tell us. We thank you, Lord, that we have everything we need in you. And Lord, as even this funny skit depicted, what could we really give you? You've given us everything. You cover our mistakes. You forgive our sin. You heal our bodies, minds, emotions. You are everything. Help us to keep that in mind and recognize that as we draw closer and closer to Christmas Day and celebrating your birth. Bless your people, we pray, Lord. Ask that you be with each one of us and our families. And as we continue in this season of Advent, we teach our children and grandchildren about you and wait together to rejoice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.